on a scale of 1 to 10, as you sit here this morning, how would you rate your prayer life? So a 1 would be, I don't pray really unless it's like a meal time or, you know, at church, I'll pray then. 10 being, you every morning wake up at 2 a.m. for like 4 hours of prayer before you start your day. And for those of you that are a 10, I would invite you to take my job because let me tell you what I was doing at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was not prayer. I did have my eyes closed, but it was not in prayer. And so all of us are somewhere on that scale. And wherever you're at on that scale, that's okay. That's okay. Here's my goal for you. Here's what I want you to go in the, here's the direction I want you to move in. What would it look like for you to go 1 step forward? And so if you're at a 1, some of you are at a 1, and that's okay. I'm totally fine with you being at a 1. I would love for you to consider, what would it take this week for you to move to a 2? That you, for a few days of this week, you have, it doesn't have to be long, it doesn't have to be hours, maybe it's just 5 minutes of time where you just have some prayer. If you're at a 10, your next goal is probably to move to Africa. I don't know for sure. And like be a missionary somewhere in the, I don't know what your next step is, but the Lord will lead you because you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning praying. But all of us are somewhere in that scale. And my hope this morning, as we go through this series, is that we can all move together in saying, I can grow in my prayer life. Because here's what we're going to discover through all of these stories of prayer, is that over and over again, we see that prayer is an ongoing, continual conversation with a God who knows, loves, and cares. And so that's the introduction to prayer, is that it's this ongoing. It doesn't have to be formal. You don't have to have the right words. You don't even know, we're going to see it here in a little bit, you don't even have to use any words. But prayer is an ongoing conversation with a God who knows you, who loves you, and who cares for you. And so Ephesians chapter 6, Paul kind of finishes up his letter with this anchoring of here's 5 things that prayer is. And we just finished talking about the armor of God, and he talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, all of those things. And then he says, in order for those to really be effective, like if you have the sword of the Spirit, but if you don't have prayer, or if you have the helmet of salvation, but if you don't have prayer, you're guarded, but you're not going to be that effective. And so in your life and in my life, regardless of what happens to you, regardless of great days or bad days or mundane days, if you don't have an anchoring in prayer, it's going to be impossible for you to make any progress in your relationship with God. It's like sailing on the ocean with no wind, that you're out there and you're in the water and you're in the boat, but if there's no wind, you're just kind of stuck. And prayer is that wind. Prayer is that thing that can move your Christian life forward. And I want so, so much for you to be people of prayer, because again, you're only with me an hour at best of the week. And you've got places to go and you've got vacations to go on and you're gonna miss because of all these things. And so if your only interaction with prayer is when you come into a building like this, man, you are missing out on so, so much of what God wants. But if you can get a foundation and an anchoring in prayer, it doesn't matter if you're here, if you're at work, if you're at home in, by yourself, if you're in the car driving down the road, you can have this relationship of prayer and it can be the thing that propels your life forward. And so the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, we're just reading 2 verses. He says, pray 5 things. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with the boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, prayer is not an accessory. Prayer is not something that we just put on as a last minute thing. Prayer is not just something that I learned some words and I memorized some words as a child, and now I just mindlessly recite those. That's not prayer. Prayer is how we remain connected. Prayer is how we remain dependent. Prayer reminds me over and over again that He is God and I am not. And I need that reminder. I need reminded that no matter what I go through, there is a God that knows more than me, can see further than me, and is stronger than me. And prayer puts God in His rightful place. It puts me in His right, it puts me in my rightful place. So 5 things that Paul said right there, and where we're gonna finish up, we're gonna do a baby dedication. He says, first of all, you gotta do this. You gotta pray constantly on all, pray on what he say, at all times, not just scheduled times of prayer, not just as you're going, you know, not just at a meal, not just now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul, not just that every now and again prayer. It's just that ongoing conversation at every moment of the day. You can be throwing up these quick, God help me, God lead me, God be with me. Imagine in your life, for those of you that are married, imagine if you only spoke to your spouse one time a week. Well, that relationship isn't going to be very dynamic. That relationship is going to go sour real fast. You're not going to get to know each other. And yet that, for some of us, is how we deal with prayer. Prayer, I just do it when I'm in a gathering like this, but the rest of my life, man, it's just, I'm just living my life. I'm just so, so busy. Healthy relationships, and you know this, healthy relationships are in constant communication. When you're at work, maybe you're sending a quick text. How's it going? When you know that your husband or your wife got out of that meeting or your child got out of that school thing, how did it go? It's just that constant interaction. And what prayer invites us to is to stay connected to a God, again, who cares and loves. And then here's what will happen, that if I can stay connected to a God on the mundane, average days of my life, when nothing crazy is going on, when it's just the monotony of life, here's what'll happen, is that when pressure inevitably hits, I'll be ready. The time to get ready in prayer is not when the pressure hits. The time to be ready and anchored in prayer is on the monotony of days. Nehemiah, he was asking the king for, he needed a big favor from the king, and you can read the story for yourself. But I love his story. He says, the king asked me, hey, what's your request? What do you want me to do? And what did Nehemiah do? Just instantly, just right there as he said, he just did a quick, I just prayed real fast. Now this probably wasn't out loud. He probably didn't get on his knees and have this big, audacious prayer. But Nehemiah had built up a lifestyle of prayer at every moment of every day. And so in that moment that there was in a crossroads, he said, I know enough to know I can't do this on my own wisdom, and I don't want to do this on my own strength. And so he's there mid-conversation, and here's probably what his prayer sounded like. God, give me wisdom. Just in his mind, God, help me. God, give me the words to speak. You could do that. When you're in the meeting, when you've got to go to the thing and you got to have the conversation, when you're in the conflict, just in the middle. Doesn't have to be this big, drawn out thing. You can just throw up these quick prayers. God, help me. God, I need your direction. God, I need to know where you're leading me in this moment. Daniel had a great story. Daniel, you remember the story of Daniel? That there was a law that said nobody can pray to anybody except the king, and anybody that does pray to anybody except the king, we're going to throw them into the lion's den. And so Daniel heard that report. The pressure is on, life and death. And what did Daniel do? Well, when he learned that this document, that law had been signed, he went up to his house and the windows in his upstairs room opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, what did he do? He got down on his knee and he prayed and gave thanks to his God. Here's the most important line, just as he had done before. That there was no time in that moment for Daniel to lay a foundation of prayer. It was life and death. But because day after day after day, Daniel, had laid that foundation of prayer, he just did what I've always done. I'm just going to be a person of prayer. Here's what I know is true about you. There's going to come a time where you're under some attack, where your life is going to throw a curveball. And at that point is not the right time for you to start a prayer habit. That's the time where you need to lean on something you've already established. And so the Apostle Paul said, if you're going to be a person of prayer, if you're going to be a person who is anchored in a God who knows, loves, and cares for you through prayer, you've got to pray constantly, and then you've got to pray. They all start with C and end in L-Y. It's just a pastor thing. It's just what we do. We can't help ourselves, but we pray constantly, and we pray collaboratively. Here's what he said. I'm not just going to pray at all times, but I'm going to pray in the Spirit. That prayer is fundamentally a cooperative endeavor. That I don't pray alone, but I pray with the Spirit's leading and the Spirit's guiding, with the Spirit's prompting, that he is strengthening me. He's interceding on my behalf. There's times in all of our lives where you find yourself in that place. I don't even know what to pray. I've got this decision to make and I don't even know which direction I should pray in. I've got this problem that I'm facing and I don't even know what even should I say to God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That we don't just pray what comes into my mind. I pray collaboratively. I invite the Spirit. Would you lead me in prayer? The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans, in the same way the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Some of you might be in that season this morning, or you're just feeling that weakness. I don't even know which direction to take because we don't know how to pray. As I said, I don't know how to pray for my kids. They're going crazy and they're in bad relationships and they're making the wrong choices. I don't even know how to pray for them. I've got this decision to make and I don't know which direction I should go. I've got this opportunity, but I don't know if it's the right one. I've got this business that I'm thinking, but I just don't know. We've all found ourselves there. Well, here's the good news. We can pray collaboratively. We don't know what to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with this inexpressible groaning. See, here's the way that you could do it, that you just find a little quiet place in your house and you just say, Spirit, help me to pray. Help me to pray. I don't even know what I should say. I don't even know the direction I can move it. And here's what you could do. And when you really don't know what to pray, do you know what you can do? You can just get to a quiet place and you can just be quiet. Now, this is a new concept for some of us because we live in such a busy world. We've got all the dings and all the notifications. And you maybe even have that desire to pray, but then you find yourself, I'm distracted and I've got to do the laundry. And then I saw that stain and I really need to do this. And oh, my oil needs change. We've got to just push aside all of those distractions. We just find ourselves in a quiet place and we turn our phone off or turn it on to do not disturb. We send the kids away for a little bit and we say, God, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say, but you promised that you can pray on my behalf. And so if you have something that you want me to pray, would you lead me? The Spirit can compensate for our inadequacy. It can compensate for my lack of understanding. It can compensate, I don't know what's around the corner, but the Spirit does. And so I just wanna pray in alignment with you. And so I can come honestly. You know that you don't have to make yourself perfect. You don't have to have the perfect words and you don't have to have it all buttoned up and just right. Man, I can just come with honesty and I can pray with, I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm not even sure. Look, here's what some of you should start with. I don't even know if this works. I don't even know if you're there. I don't even know if you're listening. I don't even know if you care. But if you want to hear from me, I'm just going to carve out some time. And I can carve out some time with just some silence. Some of you, your tears can be prayers. Some of us, here's a good tip. Just pray the scripture. When you don't know what to pray, you just make the scripture personal. You can just Google, man, what does the Bible say about, and then just put in whatever you're going through. And you just find that scripture and then you make it personal. The Lord is, well, he's my shepherd and I shall not want. You just start to pray that and just see what happens. Just see if you don't experience the presence of God that just kind of starts to lead and guide. So what do? Well, we pray consistently and constantly, this ongoing conversation. I'm going to pray collaboratively. I don't want to just pray what I think because what I think is crazy sometimes. And then I'm going to pray comprehensively. That he says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. Now, all of us, at least most of us, all of us are good at least one kind of prayer. And the kind of prayer that most of us are good at is help. Whoops, I screwed up. Can you rescue me? We've all, and that's a good type of prayer to pray. It's just not the only type of prayer to pray. And if your prayer life is limited to help, we're missing out on some prayers. Because here's what's true. And again, I don't want to make anybody feel bad. That if we could have prayed some other prayers ahead of time, if we could have prayed some prayers like, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me direction? We could have avoided some of the help me prayers. There's some help me prayers that we wouldn't have had to pray if all the way back here, I would have said, is this the way you want me to go? Is this direction you're trying to take? So all the types of prayers, some of the prayers for some of us are lament. Lament sounds like, God, I don't have any idea what you're doing. And this doesn't make any sense. And I don't think it's fair. And I don't think you should be doing. Did you know that there's a whole chapter, a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations? Just people all throughout scripture, people are just honest with their frustrations and honest with their God. I don't see what you're doing. It doesn't make any sense what you're doing. And you should bring those type of prayers to God. If you feel those things, if those things are inside of you, God, this isn't fair and you're not treating me right. And I'm trying to do all the right things, but all the wrong things are happening to me. You bring those, pray all kinds of prayers. You bring those to God. Prayers of thanksgiving. Prayers of just, God, I don't need anything. I just want you to know I'm so grateful. I want you to know that I noticed that you've put so many things in my hand. A couple months ago, I was really feeling frustrated. My truck wasn't working quite right. And I started shopping for a car and doing all the things. And I found myself, and again, this is not good advice. You're better than me. But here's the struggle that I had. I found myself in a little bit of greed. I found myself a little bit kind of just kind of saying, well, they've got this nicer thing and they've got this and I wish I had. And then I looked at the price of them and I thought, well, maybe I don't need. And it's just all that wrestling. And so here's what I started to do. And here's something that you could do. Every time my car turned on, I just decided, hey, thanks, God. That car turned on again. And when I pushed the accelerator and it moved forward, I just said, hey, thanks, God. That car, it moved forward again. And the air started to blow cold. And I said, thank you, God, that air is blowing cold. And I just made it, it was so silly. And I wouldn't have wanted anybody to hear me praying this, but I just knew that there was some ugliness that was kind of creeping up in my heart, some ingratitude, some kind of comparison. And so, man, that's a weed I need to get out. I need to pray all kinds of prayers. And so let me just start to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Some of you could try that this week. That when there is this comparison trap that we get in, and they should, and I want, and I think I need this. God, thank you. And you've given me a house to live in, and you've given me all the things that you could. Thank you so much. I want to pray all kinds of prayers. Of course, you should pray help me prayers. God wants to hear those. But if you only pray help me prayers, it's like a guy that goes to build a house using only a hammer. I mean, you need a hammer to build a house, but there's a lot of other things you need as well. And if my entire prayer life is a hammer, I'm just beating the help me, help me, help me prayer. Again, we're missing out. We pray consistently, constantly. We pray collaboratively. We're going to pray all these types of prayers. We're going to pray comprehensively. And then we're going to do just like what we did this morning. I want to pray corporately. I can get so focused on me. I get so focused on what's going on in my life and what's not going right in my life. And the Apostle Paul invites us to open up your eyes a little bit, lift up your eyes. He says, all times in the spirit with every prayer request and stay alert with all perseverance and intercessions for all the saints. And so he says, don't just look to your own life. Look at what's going on in the lives of the people around you. Are the people around you that are struggling? Are there people around you that are having a difficult time? And what would it look like to be able to be in prayer for that person? Because, and you know this, that when you're just doing everything alone, you can start to feel real isolated. You can start to feel like the walls are caving in. But if I can get my eyes up a little bit and recognize I'm not the only one going through this. I'm not the only one with difficulty. I'm not the only one with challenge. And so I'm going to start to pray for other people. Here's what you could do here. This is a crazy thing to try starting. Do what Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Now, if you want to just really try this thing out, just obey Jesus in praying for the person that you like the least. And I hope they're not sitting next to you, but if they are, go ahead and just pray for them. And here's what you do. You pray everything that you want for yourself, you pray for them. And just see if your heart doesn't change. And not on day one, and probably not on week one, but see if your heart doesn't start to soften. Lord, would you bless their marriage? Would you bless their career? Would you be with them as they go through this? And just watch. You don't even have to believe it. But if you just pray, your heart will begin to soften because we pray collaboratively and we pray corporately. Here's what Paul said in Galatians. Carry one another's burdens. I know that you've got some burdens. I know that there are some things that are not going right in your life. But Paul says over and over again, one another, one another, one another in the New Testament. And he says, look at your workplace. and look at your neighborhood and look at your house and look at the boards that you serve on. Wherever you find yourself, look for opportunities. How can I carry your burdens? And yes, I've got some burdens. And yeah, I probably need somebody to help me carry mine. But right now, as I stand, I want to help you carry your burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the life of Christ. Solomon in Ecclesiastes says this, and if someone overpowers one person, well, two can resist. That if I'm just fighting through life on my own, and it's really easy for me to get toppled. But if I can get somebody, if I can be honest with somebody, if I can text somebody, and if I can say, would you pray with me? Would you pray that as I go into this, that I'll have the right words to say? And would you pray for me? Because I know that last time I was in this situation, I lost my temper and I said some things that I didn't want to say. Would you pray for me as I go into this interview that God will give me the words? Carry one another's burdens. Don't try to live this Christian life on your own. Two can resist a man. A cord of three strands, it's not easily broken. Even the Apostle Paul, we're just reading it. The Apostle Paul asked for prayer. Verse 19, pray for me also. Listen, if the Apostle Paul needed prayer, you and I need prayer. We need some people that are rallying around us. And it doesn't have, it'd be my honor to pray for you. It'd be my absolute privilege to pray for you. But you don't need me to pray for you. Did you know that my prayers don't matter any more than yours? That I don't have any type of better connection to God than you do? My connection to God is the exact same connection that you have. The prayers that I pray are not any more powerful than anybody else. And so do you need me to pray for you? It'd be my privilege. It'd be my honor. But I'm not special. You can text your best friend. You can text your spouse. You can text your college roommate, whatever that looks like. Hey, would you just pray for me? And then you find opportunities in your day. Lord, just bring some people to mind. Bring that person to mind in those moments. And you'll be amazed. If you'll try for this, you will be, I'm just telling you, I've been doing this for a long time. You'll be amazed at what'll happen. You'll just be bebopping around your life and you'll just be doing your own thing. And I promise you, here's what's gonna happen. Randomly, somebody's name will pop into your brain and you'll think to yourself, why in the world am I thinking about this person that I haven't thought about in 5 years, that I haven't heard from? And it's just that Spirit's leading. Maybe I should pray for them. And God, I don't even know what's going on in their life. I don't even know where they live. I don't even know what's going on. Lord, maybe they're going through something. And so this week, I'm just telling you, that if you're just open to the Spirit's leading, if you're just open to the Spirit's guiding, you will be amazed at how the Spirit will lead. And God, just try it. Just be open to it. And I'm telling you, I just promise you, there's more to the Christian life than just coming on a Sunday morning from 10:15 to 11:15. I'm so glad that you're here. Please come again. But don't let this be all that there is. You got to get anchored in prayer and you got to be open to Spirit as I go through my day in and day out life. If you want to lead and guide me to pray corporately, to pray for somebody, if there's somehow I can release and lift somebody's burdens, I want to do that. And here's the last one. He says this. He says, I want you to pray courageously. I want you to pray in the Spirit, and I want you to be a prayer in all times, and I want you to pray all the types of requests, and I want you to pray for the people that are around you and the people that maybe you forgot about, but also I want you to pray courageously. Let me read again verse number 19 and 20. It's not going to be up on the screen. Pray for me also, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this, I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Now, here's what's amazing. Let me just give you a little context. Now, the Apostle Paul, and if you know anything about Ephesians, if you've been here in the series, you know this. But in case you're not familiar, the Apostle Paul is writing this in jail. He's been imprisoned for 2+ years. He's chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He has no idea if this day is going to be the last day that he has on this earth. He's going through it. He is going through a lot. He's been beaten. He's been shipwrecked. He's come within an inch of being killed. His life is in chaos. And do you know what I'm amazed by? The Apostle Paul, he asked for prayer. But you know what my prayer request would have been? My prayer request would have been, would you pray that I can get released from jail? Would you pray that I can go do what God's called me to do. I'm here under house arrest. Would you pray that they will finally hear my case and I can plead my case and that I can be found innocent and that I can get on with my life? That's what I would have prayed for. That's what I would have asked you to pray for. And those would have been a fine prayer. But the Apostle Paul instead said, what's going on in my life right now, no, it's not necessarily what I would have picked, but that doesn't sidetrack or move to the side what God's call is on my life and what God's plan for my life is. God's plan for the Apostle Paul was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul had this deep understanding that, yeah, if I travel from town to town and plant the churches and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm fulfilling God's call on my life. And if I'm chained to a Roman guard and if I share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this person, I'm fulfilling the mission of God. Paul had this understanding that what I'm going through right now doesn't determine or sidetrack God's plan and God's call on my life. And so he said, I want you to pray that I would stay faithful to God's call on my life. I'm going through challenges. I'm going through something that I necessarily wouldn't have picked for myself. But in spite of all that, would you pray that I would have courage to do what God has called me to do when I'm in a situation that I wouldn't necessarily have picked for myself? Can I just invite you this morning? Would you pray courageously that you would pray something like this? God, no matter what I'm going through, hell and high water, the monotony of life, in joy and in pain, all the different seasons of my life, would you help me to stay true to what you've called me to do? Would you help me to know that my greatest call in life is not a life that goes perfectly, but my greatest call in life is to fulfill your mission for me. My greatest call in life, when I wake up and I'm having a great day, and I wake up and I'm having a bad day, and I wake up and I'm just having a day, I just want to follow you. And so would you give me the courage to follow you, come what may? Acts chapter 4 says it this way, and now, Lord, consider their threats and grant, not that you would remove the threats, not that you would make our life wrinkle-free and problem-free, but grant that your service, your call on our life is not a wrinkle-free life, a problem-free life. Your call on our life is to share the gospel. Your call on our life is to follow you. Pray that, grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders that are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Here's a prayer for you to pray this week. Lord, would you help me to follow you when life is difficult? Would you just help me? Life is not always going to go the way that I want it to go. And I know that in those moments, in those seasons, there's a temptation to get sidetracked. I know that there's a temptation and the opportunities to go some other direction. But in the moment where life is not what I want it to be, would you just give me courage to follow you? When everybody else in my workplace is cutting corners and there's the under the table things and people are in that gray area, and they're inviting me to move in that same direction, would you give me the courage to follow you? Because your greatest call on my life is to follow you. Your greatest call is not this job. It's not a problem-free life. But your greatest call for me is to follow Jesus. And so, Lord, in this season of my life, I want to pray courageously that I would choose to follow you. End of that verse. When they'd prayed, the place they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word. God answered their prayer. They began to speak the word boldly. How do we pray? How do you set a foundation of prayer? And then next week, again, we're gonna look at all these different prayers that are in the Bible, but you've gotta have a foundation first. It's not that helpful if you build the walls of the house before you have your foundation. How do we have a foundation? Well, Paul said you pray constantly, you pray cooperatively, you pray comprehensively, you pray corporately, and you pray courageously. Where were you out on that scale? Remember we asked you, are you at a 2? That's awesome. What would it look like this week? Just move to a 3. Are you just a person of deep prayer? Man, I'm so proud of you. Just keep digging in. Just keep moving forward. Maybe you're at like a 0. You've never even considered prayer. You say, I don't even think prayer works. I don't even think there's a God that's out there listening. That's all right, man. I'm glad you're here. Just try it this week. Go to a 1. Just see what happens. See if God won't speak and lead your life. Holy Spirit, here's the way to do it. Holy Spirit, help me to pray today. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we have been taught how to pray and that we have been invited to pray. And so Lord, I'm praying for all of us this week that we would, in whatever way it would look like for us, that we would be people of prayer. Lord, I'm praying for those that might be in the room or watching online. They don't believe any of this. They're not even sure you're out there. They've been hurt by the church or hurt by some things that happened to them, and the faith that they had maybe at one time is totally gone. They're just not even sure, what is this even about? Lord, I'm praying that they would just take that little tiny step towards you, and that they would just say, Lord, if you really are out there, I don't even know, but I wanna hear and I wanna lead and I wanna be led and I wanna be directed. Lord, for some of us, we believe in you, but we've not had that consistent, constant conversation with you. We've prayed a lot of help me prayers. We've dialed 911 to you a lot, but we haven't asked for wisdom or direction or your presence. We haven't been very thankful. And so Lord, I'm praying that for some of us, we would find new languages of prayer, that we would choose to pray with thankfulness, that we would, for some of us, we'd pray with lament. God, we don't understand what's going on. For some of us, we need to pray for wisdom because we don't know where you're leading us. And Lord, would you help us to get our eyes up, that we would pray corporately, that we would pray for the not just the things that are going on in my life, but that we would do just exactly what Paul said, that we would lift each other's burdens, and in so doing, that we would fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, for all of us today, would you help us to follow you even when life is difficult? Would you help us to move in your direction even when life doesn't make sense? Give us the courage, Jesus, to follow you, come what may. Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.